Wings of Chaos, Chapter 1, Entwining Fates. Keelan knelt in the cool evening air of the forest, surrounded by dozens of flickering red and gold candles. The sky was nearly dark, but the warmth of the candles filled him with calm as he pressed his eyes closed and began to whisper his prayers. His surroundings, and all sound, disappeared as his focus shifted to the divine. Above him, atop a nearby hill, stood a druid watching this curious display. Satisfied that the human wouldn't burn down the forest, he slunk back into the shadows to continue his watch. "Hold a moment," Shale whispered to Laosin, and he gestured for Nazim and Bram to pause. The sky was fading quickly into night, and across the field, near a cluster of trees, at the edge of the Wood of Sharp Teeth, Shale could make out the flickering of firelight. She looked at the monks and motioned for them to wait there, then passed through the long grass toward the light. They had been on the road for several days now without incident. While it was not uncommon to cross other travelers on the road, it was still good to keep your wits about you. Bandits and goblins were wont to hunt the forests. As she approached, she saw a singular figure hunched over the warmth of a new fire, unpacking a small kettle from his belongings. He raised his head suddenly and looked around. "Who goes there?" he demanded, standing slowly. Shale entered the firelight, hands up. "Just a curious forest guide. Sorry to creep up on you like this. I wasn't sure who else would be on the road in this late season, and it can't harm to be too careful." The man was now fully visible to her as she approached. He was tall, with angular features and a slight point tipping his ears. His silvery blonde hair was closely shaved on the sides and long at the top, pulling down to his waist in a twisting braid, a strip of green intertwined in the hair. A half-elf. That explained why he could see her in the near dark. On his left arm was a massive tattoo of a snake that coiled from wrist all the way up into his sleeve with seemingly no end. "That's quite all right," he said, face relaxing. "I too must be cautious." Shale nodded. "Mind if we join your fire? I'm in the company of three others. We have our own provisions, but new conversations are always welcome." The half-elf nodded his head in assent. "Yes, it would be good to get out of my own thoughts for a while." "What is your name?" he asked as Shale turned to retrieve the monks. "Shale, and yours?" "Ozarin." He smiled and resumed his seat next to the fire. Before she could turn back, there was a sound in the trees. A snap of twigs behind them. Shale spun around abruptly, scanning the darkness. Her vision was useless after staring into the firelight. "What was that?" Ozarin hissed, drawing out a mace and searching the darkness. "Wait, I see something." Two things happened at once. First, a group of hunched figures bounded into the firelight, growling and hissing their battle cries, one jumping at the half-elf who barely managed to dodge out of the way. Shale could see the creatures now in full, scaly form. Kobolds, short but nasty dragon-esque creatures. A blast of fire shot through the air from the trees and burst into one of the kobolds, engulfing it in orange flames. A moment later, two more kobolds were diving at Shale. She ducked out of the jab of one spear, but another nicked her arm from the other side. She drew out two blades from her back and twisted them in the air before her, gently stepping around to remove herself from the circle of kobolds. Beside her, Ozarin's serpent tattoo began to glow with a greenish light, and two writhing, coiling snakes appeared and shimmered around his torso, merging into a strange glowing armor which deflected a jab from another kobold. Another bolt of fire flew from the trees and took down a kobold just as it was leaping into the fray. Shale downed one with her sword and twisted to face another, her blade gashing its side as she struck and parried. It took less than a minute between the human and half-elf and the strange firebolts blasting through the trees to dispatch the enemies. "Come out of the trees, whoever you are," Ozarin said, armor still glowing and writhing, mace pointed at the darkness. It was silent for a moment, and Shale kept her blades raised. Then, a large shape bounded out of the trees and leapt at the half-elf, who dropped his mace at seeing the creature. It grabbed his arm where the tattoo no longer glowed and inspected it curiously. Unsure of what to make of this, Ozarin extricated himself from the figure's grasp and stepped away. Hello, friend? Was it you with the fire? The figure looked up at him with huge eyes and blinked, head tilted. Make glow again? With a glance of confusion, Shiel broke in. I think he means your arm. I can't make it glow at the moment, but... The figure was tall, close to 7 feet, and was covered in yellowish fur that was interrupted by soft oranges and streaked with black stripes. It had large ears and twitching whiskers, and its tail swished from side to side beneath its robe. It was a tabaxi, a cat person. What are you doing out here? Shael asked, moving up to the large cat and sheathing her blades. May I? The tabaxi nuzzled his face against her shoulder, and she scratched him behind the ear. His chest rumbled with a purr. What's your name? Shael asked, patting him. He looked down at her and said, Whisper, like sound, but quieter. Ah, Ozarin said uncomfortably, inspecting the tabaxi. Are you a friend? You shot those fireballs? The tabaxi nodded, excited. What happened here? The voice of Laosin broke in as the three monks rushed into the firelight. We were attacked, Shael explained, gesturing to the fallen bodies of several kobolds. I was just about to come get you when we ran into this helpful tabaxi fellow. We grew worried when you didn't return, the monk told her, folding his hands into his robe. Is everything all right now? Shael nodded and gestured for the three monks to take a seat at the fire. Ozarin here offered to share his fire with us. She pointed her chin in the direction of the half-elf. I assume that offer still stands? When he nodded, she said, Whisper, would you like to stay with us? I would be very interested in hearing your story. Oh, yes, stay, Whisper purred, bounding to the fire and curling up in the warmth. Excellent, Shael said as she seated herself. Strange as it was, the distraction was welcome. Keelan strode down a well-beaten path, looking out at the forest curiously as he went, pack bouncing behind him. It was a warm and respectfully quiet afternoon as he traveled toward the town of Greennest. He still had a few hours left in his journey as far as he could guess, and the road was clear but for the occasional cart hauling turnips, corn, and other goods between villages. He shifted his chainmail shirt as he walked, feeling the sweat culminate between his many layers of clothing. By mid-afternoon, he was forced to remove the chainmail and place it in his pack, but kept his warhammer at his shoulder, easy to draw at a moment's notice. Glancing around, he thought he saw the shift of a form in the trees not far back. Squinting, he gazed down the road and waited for a few minutes before shrugging and pulling a book from his side pouch in his bag.
The Histories and Practices of Kossuth, Part 1, he said in a low voice, donning his pack and opening the book where he had marked it.
With that, Keelan continued down the road, open book in hand.
Reading and walking, Philip thought, shaking his head at the human as he walked. This is a curious one indeed. Rather attractive, too.
The druid put away his sling and sneaked forward between the trees, keeping the human in his keen sight. His quarry, a large hare, bounded through the underbrush and ran from sight.
A good meal gone, but a more interesting fill to be had, he thought.
Reverence walked quite slowly, despite his urgency. There was a laziness to his stride that came from a long time spent in stillness, a year of silent meditation, a look inward to find the outward truth. He followed the road with distinct displeasure, his mind humming with remembered visions. He turned over his shoulder and could see, at least a mile off, a lone figure walking down the road behind him. He descended another hill and could feel his pace quicken, if only somewhat. Greennest was nearing. He swished his spiked tail around his shoulder and loosened his cloak as the heat of the day drew beads of sweat past his curled, unadorned horns. Ahead of him on the road, three figures darted across the path and into an adjoining field. He ignored them, thoroughly awash in his thoughts as he crested a final hill. It was surrounded by cultivated fields of varying yellows and greens and set through by a slow, winding river. With a heavy sigh, the tiefling wove his way down the road toward the large stone keep at the edge of town.
Keelan marked his book as he approached the two-story stone structure. It had a thatched roof and large wooden doors that were opened wide. It was the temple of Shantea, goddess of agriculture, a common deity for these lands, but not the one he sought. Inside lay a long room flanked by stone benches facing the tall, carved shrine of varying grains and stalks. Below the shrine crouched a half-elf with graying hair and a face lined with age. He stood and smiled welcomingly as Keelan stepped up to the dais.
"Ah, a devout worshipper, how may I be of service to you?"
He gave a slight bow. Keelan held up a hand.
"I am a worshipper of Kossuth. Tell me, where is his shrine?"
The smile faded from the half-elf's features, and he gestured to one of the small side doors in annoyance.
"There."
He turned immediately and returned to his prayers without another word.
"Thank you," Keelan said in Elvish.
The man's eyes remained shut, and he did not respond. Keelan turned on his heel and made for the tiny door, pushing it open with some effort. The door had clearly not been used for some time. The shrine for Kossuth was a shining black brazier with a flickering flame dancing above it. There was no fuel to the fire, and yet it burned unceasingly. The room was tiny, no bigger than a broom closet, and everything was coated in a thick layer of dust. With a sigh of disgust, Keelan threw down his belongings and stomped into the main temple, opening doors until he found a straw broom and a neatly stacked pile of priestly cloths displaying the symbol of Shantea. The half-elf priest purposefully ignored him. He returned to the room and began to clean it thoroughly, sweeping the dust into the main chamber and using the holy cloths of the goddess to shine the brazier. When the room looked to be in order, Keelan threw the cloths out of the door, now streaked black with grease. He closed the door behind him and held his arm over the flames up to the elbow. The heat licked at his coat and burned away the fabric, and the flesh of his arm began to bubble in smoke. His scream of pain was high-pitched and nearly inhuman as he pulled his arm away. The skin was red and raw and sticky. With a grunt, Keelan picked up his pack, which jingled with the weight of his chainmail, and exited the room, keeping the door open. As he exited the temple, he heard the half-elf mutter, "Fire worshippers." The Brew and Stew Inn and Tavern was a warm, hearty atmosphere despite only being filled to half its capacity. Those who were there were enjoying a tankard or a hot bowl and warm bread and were talking jovially. Philip, after following the strange human into Green Nest, found his way to the inn and, after some flippant bargaining over room pricing, made his way upstairs to change into clean, finely stitched silks. His face was cleanly shaven, and he proudly stroked his jaw, winking to his reflection in the mirror. The half-elf flashed a confident smile to himself, then returned down the stairs and scanned the room. Near the back of the tavern sat three somewhat overweight, slightly below-average-looking human women, peaking beyond their best years. He strode toward them with arms out and dimples in his cheeks.
"Ladies,"
he drawled, and they looked up from the conversation to see his handsome visage.
"Who would like to buy me a drink?"
One of the women snorted and stood, looking surprised that her friends remained. She exited the building with a disbelieving shake of her head. The druid took a seat in her chair and rested his boots on the table, pushing back his silver blonde hair and casting his blue eyes over the two remaining women.
"Well?"
he asked, and one of the women went red with the flicker of a smile and gestured to the barkeep with a raised hand.
"One for the handsome
Philip,"
he grinned.
"Philip,"
she grinned back, showing yellowed teeth, a few stray hairs resting on her upper lip. She pulled free some of the laces on her dress, and her large bosom was in danger of spilling out. With raised eyebrows, her other friend got up and left.
"Looks like you're all mine," Philip said, leaning closer with his chin in his hands.
"Ozarin, you mentioned you were traveling in the area for a while. Are you looking to stay in Green Nest?" Shale asked as they approached the outskirts of town.
"Ah," the half-elf considered. "I haven't thought about where I might go next, to be honest."
"Well, you are certainly welcome to stay here with us for as long as we're here," she offered. The half-elf was an interesting man, not overly forthcoming, but pleasant all the same. Whisper bounded up behind them and grabbed Ozarin by the arm, dragging him down the road.
"Stay."
With a smile, the half-elf shrugged back to Shale and the closely following monks.
"I guess I will stay for now."
They followed the road through low buildings towards an inn. Whisper ran up to a villager, a stout man with a dirt-smeared face and carrying a large pile of wood, and shook the man's arms. "Look," he said to Shale. He shook the man until, eyes filled with shock at this strange encounter, he dropped the stack of wood and shuffled back. Whisper pawed at the logs with interest.
"Leave the man to his work, Whisper," Ozarin said sternly. "Apologies, sir," he told the man, who quickly piled the wood back into his arms and stumbled away, checking over his shoulder until they were out of sight.
"This is an interesting companion you've found," Laosin said to Shale as he walked up next to her. Shale shrugged and nodded. The tabaxi was now chasing a few stray chickens. He caught one and was playing with it. "Whisper," Shale called, beckoning the cat person to her side. "Don't kill their chickens."
"No kill,"
he nodded, looking back wistfully at the clucking hens as a child emerged from a doorway.
"Mom, there's a giant cat trying to eat the chickens," the child said around his shoulder.
"Come on," Shale murmured, and they hurried along before the mother could appear. Soon they stood at the entrance of the inn. The tall building had a thatched roof and a sign painted green and gold that read, in common, elvish, and halfling, "The Stew and Brew Inn and Tavern." Whisper climbed the building with incredible speed and perched atop the roof, looking out at the town. With a contented purr, he curled up in the late afternoon sun and found a spot amongst the straw and closed his eyes.
"Shall we go inside?" Shale asked Ozarin and the monks, who all nodded their assent.
The inn was crowded with patrons eating supper and drinking the local brew. There was a long rectangular table that was partially taken, but they managed to drag a few stools to the end of it and order some food and beverages. "As agreed," Laosin said, inconspicuously handing Shale a pouch. 15 gold for bringing us safely to our destination."
"Thank you," Shale said, counting out the coins under the table carefully.
Satisfied, she tucked the gold away. "Will you be staying?" Laosin and his students looked around the room as he shook his head.
"Not here. In fact, we must be going."
He finished the last bite of honey tart on his plate and motioned for Nazim and Bram to stand.
"Again, thank you, Shale Dolmanai. If ever we need another forest guide, I will turn to you first."
Shale bowed her head as they exited the inn. She and Ozarin spent the next few minutes gazing quietly around the inn and observing the townsfolk. There was one man who stood out from the rest. He was leaning in very closely to a woman and whispering in her ear, grinning wickedly. She covered her face and giggled. The man was a half-elf and wore incredibly fine clothing for the establishment, a sore thumb if ever there was one. Shale nudged Ozarin's arm and pointed over to their table.
"That man seems strange, doesn't he? Out of place and..."
"A bit creepy," Ozarin offered, folding his arms as he watched the display. Shale nodded in agreement, and the man turned and saw them both staring. He quickly got up and walked over to them, his confidence a tangible cloak about him. Shale looked down as he strode over.
"Hello, fine people. I couldn't help but notice you staring at me."
He caught Shale's eyes and gave her a wink, and she crossed her arms in annoyance, leaning back. "Can we help you?"
"You may certainly try," he grinned.
The half-elf smiled all too much for Shale's liking.
"The name's Philip."
He seated himself next to Ozarin, who looked offended by his kinsman's demeanor.
"Well, I guess I'll just leave then."
The woman with whom the man had been engaged with had come over to their table, hands on hips.
"Bye,"
Philip said lazily, waving offhandedly in her direction without looking. She harumphed and exited the inn, slamming the main door behind her and drawing a few curious eyes.
"So, where were we?" he asked.
"Nowhere, as far as I'm concerned," Shale told him.
Now, Philip tisked, eyeing her and Ozarin with penetrating blue eyes. "I meant no offense. I'm simply bored and new to the town, hoping to share in some adventure."
"There's no adventure here," Ozarin said grudgingly. "At least none that we've heard of." Shale folded her arms on the table. After a pause, she looked at the two men. "Have either of you heard of necromancers in these parts?"
"Necromancers?" Ozarin shook his head. "Not that I recall, no. Why, have you heard something?"
She shrugged. "Whispers here and there, nothing distinct." Philip wrinkled his nose.
"I have not heard anything of that nature myself, though I don't spend much time talking to people, as it were."
"You don't say," Shale muttered. "All right, Philip, what are your skills? Are you a fighter, a magic user, a man of incredible wealth and talent? What makes you worthy to sit at our table when you know nothing about us?" It was a bold set of questions coming from her, but she drank two ales and was feeling the warm buzz behind her eyes. Philip grinned at the challenge and straightened in his stool, looking around. He gazed up at the bar, where several bottles of liquor were lined up on the top shelf. The half-elf drew out a sling, set a small stone into the leather, aimed, and released. The stone flew across the room, arching upwards and just barely tinging the edge of a bottle. The bottle rocked for a moment, unsteady, then tipped forward and sailed through the air. With a flash quicker than she could believe, Philip had released another stone at the falling bottle. It missed, sticking deep into the back wood of the bar, and the bottle crashed onto the floor and shattered into 1,000 tiny shards of glass, spraying a dark liquid over the walls and counter. The barkeep, a brown-haired, strong-boned woman, cursed loudly and looked around to see what had caused the accident, immediately spotting Philip, who did nothing to hide his sling. Realizing his mistake, he quickly hid it beneath his cloak, but it was too late. The woman stomped toward him, looking harried. "Who's going to pay for that?" she demanded, looking at all three of them in turn. Shale held up her hands innocently, and Philip just shrugged. "I'll pay for it," Ozarin sighed, pulling out a coin purse. "What will it cost?" 3 silver, she said without hesitation, holding out a hand to retrieve the coins. Ozarin placed them gingerly in her palm, and she stormed off without another word. Once she was gone, Ozarin turned to the half-elf. "That was decently impressive," he admitted. "Not perfect, but not terrible, either." "I'll take the compliment," Philip said happily. It seemed that was the icebreaker they needed. The two half-elves jumped next into discussions of travel, fighting styles, and magic usage. After about an hour of conversing, Shale remembered Whisper on the roof. It was growing dark outside. "Do you like cats?" Shale asked the half-elf, who had explained to them that he was a druid who had some experience with the natural magics. "I like most animals," he said. "Why?" "Come meet Whisper." The three of them went outside, and Shale called out for the tabaxi. The striped yellow and black head of the cat person popped up and eyed them curiously, before bounding down in excitement. Ozarin cast a subtle light spell that created a point of dancing colored light on the druid's forehead. Whisper watched it for a moment, mouth quivering, before he swiped a massive paw at the druid's forehead, knocking him off his feet and leaving a sizable scratch. "Whisper, don't scratch," Shale chastised. Ozarin held his middle and began to laugh, his usual stern demeanor having diminished at the display. Philip got to his feet, wiping blood from his face and casting a light healing spell to remove the scratches. Then he grinned at the tabaxi and patted his head between the ears. "Not bad," the half-elf laughed. For the moment, Shale felt her heart lighten at the strange sight, though she knew she couldn't linger. Shale purchased a room for the night and left her possessions in it before returning to the table, where the two half-elves and now the tabaxi sat. Whisper sat on his haunches and pulled out a ball of yarn from seemingly nowhere and began batting it around the table. Shale had asked a few of the townsfolk in passing if they had heard of necromancers, but they all gave her strange looks and shook their heads. Frustrated and tired from the long journey, she drank in silence as the two half-elves continued their conversations. "More ale?" a young serving girl asked, her auburn hair tied back out of her face. "Please," Shale said, offering her a smile. "Can we get some milk as well?" Ozarin asked her, motioning to Whisper. The girl nodded and returned a few minutes later with a few mugs of ale and one of milk. She handed the milk over to Whisper with a shrug, and the tabaxi picked up the mug gingerly and began lapping up the milk. A shorter human in a tattered coat, looking worn from several days' travel, entered the inn. Just behind him, framed in the doorway, came a figure of equal height, with curled ram's horns on either side of his face. The tiefling had burnt orange skin and black, spiked hair. His eyes glowed a deep red, and as he entered the inn, several faces turned to look upon the strange creature. Tieflings were not common folk in these areas. Shale had encountered a couple in her days, but most were standoffish and tended to avoid humans. This one removed his cloak with his spiked tail and dropped it into his arms as he approached the bar. The human was passing money to the owner, and the tiefling watched the exchange, looking bored. The innkeep continued to look up at him nervously as she spoke with the human. Philip abruptly stood and walked up to the bar, his stool scraping against the wood unpleasantly. Ozarin and Shale watched from afar as he struck a conversation with the human, gesticulating enthusiastically, then took the man by the arm and, showing a massive scorch mark in the fabric, produced a chunk of tree bark from his coat and stitched the material back together by waving the bark around in the air. The human nodded and placed a thankful hand on the druid's shoulders. After a minute or two, they both came to the table. "This is Keelan," Philip said. helping the man to find a seat next to Shale. She nodded in acknowledgement.
"What was that you were doing with his sleeve?"
Ozarin asked Philip, and Keelan held up his arm to show the mended fabric.
"I burned my arm," Keelan told them happily.
"Burned it? How exactly?" Shale asked.
"Oh, I burned it in the brazier of the Almighty Kossuth, god of fire."
"On purpose?" she said, aghast. He nodded fervently.
"Oh, yes. I am on a pilgrimage to find the 7 braziers of Kossuth, our great fiery god, and gain incredible powers by his grace. I wish to be a paladin."
"Does it hurt?" Ozarin asked uncertainly.
"It hurts quite a lot, actually," Keelan told them.
The orange tiefling sat himself at a table nearby and shuffled his chair back so he was nearly touching Ozarin where he sat.
"That sounds..."
Shale trailed off, lost for words.
"Sounds mad to me," Philip finished, then shrugged. "But who am I to judge?"
With that, the druid held his hands out in front of him and began shaking them as if he were about to roll a handful of dice. Light flickered around his hands for a moment as he concentrated on them, and suddenly a cacophony of dogs barking emanated from the walls of the inn, appearing to come from every direction. Whisper pulled away from his mug of milk, ears flicking, and looked around, alert. Then he twitched his whiskers and began barking back, the sound echoing magically through the room.
"Ha ha, good trick," Philip said, clapping his hands together. "I thought I smelled a wizard in that tabaxi. Looks like I'm not disappointed."
People throughout the tavern looked around at the barking as it faded, and a few cast glares in their direction. Other, real dogs in the town began to bark and howl.
"We're making quite the display," Shale thought.
This evening was turning out to be one of the strangest she'd ever encountered.
"Excuse me, would you like to sit with us since you're so clearly listening into our conversation anyways?"
Philip said loudly, looking over at the tiefling, whose horns were basically touching the back of Ozarin's head now. He turned in his chair and, with haunted red eyes, said,
"I have come to warn you all."
He spoke as if there were no words, so slow was his speech.
"Sorry,"
Ozarin said as the tiefling pushed his chair in amongst theirs. Whisper held up his ball of yarn and handed it to the tiefling, who looked at it but didn't move to take it.
"Something bad is coming," he sighed. "I'm here to warn this town of a grave danger. It has brought me to the 5 of you."
"Grave," Shale said slowly, "as in dead or serious?"
"Very serious."
The tiefling's eyes darkened again. Philip looked the tiefling up and down.
"That's very vague, and we,"
he gestured around the table, "don't know each other." Ozarin nodded in agreement, looking as disturbed as Shale felt.
"We'll need more than that. What's coming? What's happened?"
The tiefling eyed them all but said nothing. Whisper returned to playing with his ball of yarn, though his ears twitched and it was clear he was listening.
"What's your name?" Shale asked finally.
"Me? Oh, my name's Reverence."
With that, he stood and walked up the stairs of the inn.
"That was sufficiently uncomfortable," Philip said, seemingly unbothered compared to the rest of them.
"I wonder what he means," Keelan said, scratching the stubble on his chin.
"I will find,"
Whisper said, then looked up at the ceiling and seemed to be focused on something. After a few moments, a bag drifted down the stairs towards them, hugging the ceiling to avoid the wandering gazes of other tavern folk. The bag dropped in front of them on the table, and the tabaxi rummaged through it, dumping out the contents. It contained miscellaneous travel supplies, rations, a water skin, torches, and rolls of scrolls. Whisper unfurled one rather gently, considering his pause, and began scanning the letters.
"Where did you get that?" Ozarin asked cautiously.
"Reverence,"
Whisper said carefully, still reading the scrolls. "We shouldn't steal," Shale whispered, making sure no one else was watching them. "Can you read it?" The tabaxi shook his head, whiskers twitching. It was easy to forget that tabaxi were incredibly intelligent creatures, equal to the minds of elves. Whisper took out his own blank parchment and ink and began copying some of the messy notes.
"Cannot read, but we'll find out language," he told them.
She watched for a moment before sighing and standing.
"I can't be part of this," she apologized and made for the stairs.
After months of being on the road, she would happily welcome warm blankets and a cozy bed over the company of strangers. In her room, Shale stood in front of the mirror and gazed at her reflection. Her eyes had a few creases, signs of her 30-odd years of life. She wiped her face clean of sweat and dust from travel and pulled the ties out of her hair. Her hair, when left down, reached to the middle of her back. It was bright lavender, a color bestowed on her years ago after a strange first meeting with a deity. She liked the color, though it was unique to only her and often drew staring eyes. Her hair was woven into thick cords, easier to maintain when traveling. Her skin was the color of dark ale, nearly black, and her eyes were gray. Often, when she looked into the reflection of those eyes, she saw the eyes of her mother and father. They were a distinct trait of her people. Sometimes, Shale forgot her appearance. Normally, she was the strange one. Now, with the odd group she had interacted with this evening and along the road, Shale felt as though she were the most normal person in the world. A man who burned himself? A tabaxi who barely spoke common and had magical abilities? A half-elf who was extremely vague about his past? An ostentatious half-elf druid who didn't look like a druid at all? And then there was that tiefling with the strange message. Shale shook her head and made for the bed in the corner of the tiny room. She tied up her lavender hair in a strip of silk cloth, then pulled the blankets up around her. Sleep took her, as it often did, into nightmarish dreams and sadness. Ozarin kneeled on the shabby wooden floorboards and looked up at the tiny window in his room. "Tell me," he prayed, shaking his head. "Why am I here? What is it you want of me?" It was quiet for a few minutes, and he was just about to stand when, in the back of his mind, the voice of a woman said, "Wait, you will see." Listening to Wings of Chaos by Alexis Fienendahl and based on the Horde of the Dragon Queen D&D campaign. For more stories written by me, you can visit my blog at alexisfienendahl.com or click the link provided in the show notes. Thanks for listening.